right, take your Bible, if you will, tonight. Let's go to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, we're going to begin reading right there in verse 1. Choir practice be tonight right after church, so those of you in the choir, hop up there and get ready for practice and do it right the first time. We won't have to go through it five times. That is if the choir director doesn't change his mind about how he wants it done, okay? Y'all pray for the choir director. He's a very undecided man. Constantly changing his mind. Constantly. All right, there in Genesis 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. There's nothing like it when people think they need to help God out. And that's what happened here. And so, in verse 4, he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. Yeah. I have given my handmaid unto thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And an angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? I'm going to leave off reading right there. Hagar is a marvelous character in the Word of God. She was an Egyptian. She was born there. She was brought up there. And now, in our Bible, Egypt is a type of the world. There's little that comes out of Egypt that's any good, all right? The best thing ever came out of Egypt was the children of Israel, and they shouldn't have been there as long as they were anyway. It's that way, and because she was an Egyptian, Egypt in ancient history was a very religious place. If you ever study Egyptian history, they're very, very religious folks. They had a multitude of gods that they worshipped and served, and so as such, Hagar knew a lot about gods, but little of God Himself. Very little of God Himself. Now, She came into the home of Abraham, and she met Abraham. She met the most unusual man of his day. One of the most outstanding men in all of history is Abraham. And she got into his household, probably basically a slave. Some people believe that she, when Abraham left Egypt after going down there and getting backslid, and when he left, some people believe, well, she was part of the gifts that Pharaoh gave to Abraham. Maybe so. You can't prove that, but it could have been. But when she met Abraham, she met a man unlike any she had ever met. And Abraham had a different God from all the gods she had ever heard of. And that God was a true God. And he was going to teach her a lesson that every one of us need to master. And I want to look at that tonight just for a little bit. It's right there in verse 13 where Hagar said, Thou God seeth me. Thou God seeth me. What a marvelous lesson that is, and what an enlightening discovery she made when she figured it out, okay? She figured it out. I want you to just think about that with me. You're going to say, preacher, this is one of the most simple messages I've ever heard. Well, I want you to be able to understand it, all right? Plus, I don't want to give above my own mental ability, okay? I want you to see with me about four things. Number one, he sees your conduct. Okay, he sees your conduct. God saw what Hagar did. He saw what had happened, all right? He saw her willingness to do as Sarah asked her to do. There's no indication when Sarah come and said, look, I'm going to give you to my husband, you're going to become his wife, and basically you're going to, by proxy, bear me a child. That's basically what she was doing, all right? And that was basically what it was set up to do. So there's no evidence that there was any hesitancy on her part. You said, what chance did she have? She was a slave. Maybe so. I don't know. But no indication there was. So God saw her willingness to do it. He also saw her attitude with Sarah after she realized she was going to have that child. Notice what the Bible said there, all right? Sarah, it was says her mistress was despised in her eyes there in verse 4. And boy, it made Sarah mad. I mean, undoubtedly, when Hagar realized she was with child, it became, see, I'm a whole lot better than you are. You know, just look down on her and just to reflect upon her. He saw that attitude that Hagar had. God saw her conduct, all right? He also saw her reaction to the hard treatment that Sarah gave her. It was so difficult. The Bible tells us she decided to flee. She took off. And according to what was said, she was headed back to Egypt, okay? She was headed back into Egypt. God saw all of that. He saw her conduct. Now, this is such a simple thing, I hesitate to say it, but God sees your conduct too. God sees your conduct. You said, preacher, I know that. Hey, he sees what you do. And like I say, I guess everybody will say, man, who doesn't know that? Well, I don't know, but I've seen a lot of people, the way they live like God didn't see them. You know, so I just want to be sure you understand God sees what you do, all right? Now, usually when we talk about that, it's always with a negative in view, right? The little song when you were in Sunday school, little bitty kid, oh, be careful, little hands, what you do, right? Because there's a Father up above looking down. And most of the time when we think of that, we think of God seeing us, it's, I got to be careful. Got to be careful. And we kind of take the negative view of it. He does see our conduct. He sees our anger. He sees our impudence sometimes. He sees our retaliation when we're offended. Or when we're wronged, when we feel like we're wrong, he sees our retaliation. I've watched football for umpteen years, and I've noticed how many times with instant replay, they can go back and show you what happened, and they show when the ref pulls the flag and throws the flag on a football player for unnecessary roughness. And it seems like the guy that always gets penalized is the one that retaliates. They don't see the first instance, but they always see the retaliation. You with me? Hey, God sees that. He sees our retaliation. Hey, he sees it when we mistreat somebody else. No matter what our justification is, he sees it. He sees our mistreatment of other people. He sees our haughty, arrogant spirit that we can come up with at times. Now, those are things that you say, preacher, you didn't see it, did you? Doesn't matter if I did. God sees it, okay? But we try to really hide those things in church, you know? We try to hide that. We don't display that in church. We try to keep the anger calm in church. Now, you may get outside and get mad, all right, or vent, but we try to hide those things. Hey, I want to tell you, nothing we do is hidden from him. He sees our conduct. He sees it. But could I put it on the other side just a minute, on the positive side? Hopefully everything you do is not negative. Everything you do is not bad. And everything you do is not need to be hidden, okay? I believe God sees those good things we do. He takes note of the kind word. He takes note of that. He sees that helping hand you reach out and give somebody. He sees that. Not only that, I believe he sees those many things that oftentimes little things that a lot of people overlook. But God sees them. He said, how do you know? Well, you remember where the Bible says, if you give a cup of water in my name, you'll not lose your reward? You know, if he sees something as simple as a cup of water that's given in his name, what a very simple thing. That is not something that requires great effort. It is not something that requires super strength. Simple thing. But God says you won't lose your reward. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he sees your conduct. He sees what you do. And it's not just the evil, all right? It's not just the bad. He sees those good things. He sees the things you do to be a help. He sees those things you do in service to him. He pays attention to the details, all right? He pays attention to the details. He sees it. You need to remember that. Our life is open before him. Thy God sees me. He sees you. Sees your conduct, all right? But wait a minute. It goes deeper than that. God doesn't just see your conduct. God sees your character. God sees your character. The truth of the matter is we don't oftentimes see people's character, but God does. I believe God saw something special in Hagar. Now think about it, okay? Abraham had a lot of men servants, a lot of maid servants. Name me one other one. There is one other one that you could know. He's named. Yeah, Eliezer, he's the one that went after the bride for Isaac, okay? But he had a whole bunch. We know the names of two. We know the names of two. I believe there was just something special about Hagar. A lot of servants, but something about Hagar made him send the angel of the Lord after her. Look at verse 7, all right? Verse 7, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. God sent that angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord wasn't just wandering around and go, hey, how you doing? No, he was there. He found her, all right? He was sent by God, all right? There was something that was so important about Hagar that God sent that angel of the Lord to find her. When she ran, she fled. He didn't have to do that. You with me? He didn't have to do that. You reckon any other servant of Abraham ever ran? I don't have any idea. Don't know. Don't know. If they did, it's not recorded. But we know Hagar did. We know that she did. There was something about her character, I believe, that drew the attention of the Lord about her character. We'll look at it in a minute. You see, God sees deeper than just your conduct. He sees more than just what you do. He sees what you are. He sees what you are because your character is what you are, all right? He's watching. He's watching all the time. So he sees more than the eyes of men are going to see. He sees that which motivates your actions. He sees that that motivates your actions. Hey, there are some people that do good things for bad reasons. Very self-serving reasons. The only reason they do it is just for their own benefit. There's some people that will do things to be seen of men. All right? You get in the New Testament. That's what the Lord said about the Pharisees. He said, what you do to be seen of men. He said, the praying you pray so you can influence people and you can cause people to say, boy, what a prayer that fella prayed to impress other people. Hey, God knows our character. He sees our character. He knows it, all right? He not only sees what you do, but he sees what you are. Our character, I believe, is so important to God. So important to God. Our character, your character, will decide your future. It's going to decide success or failure. your character. Hey, the reason a lot of people today are struggling, having a hard time, is they got real bad character. Got real bad character. Some people's character is such that they won't stay faithful and work, okay? Don't do it. He said, how do you know? What makes you think, Hagar, give me a reason why you think she had good character. All right, go back there, if you will, and look at what the Bible says in verse 9. It's what the angel of the Lord said to Hagar. He said, return to thy mistress. Okay, not a big deal. And submit thyself under her hands. Now you hear me. That took good character. That took great character. For Hagar to be willing to go back and submit herself under the hand of Sarah. There's good indication Sarah mistreated her. She had a reason to flee, okay? But here's the angel of the Lord saying, you go back, and not only go back, but you submit yourself to her. Submit to that. It takes good character to do that. It takes good character for you to be willing to submit to somebody that doesn't always treat you right. That takes some excellent character. That was the kind that she had. I believe God knew that Hagar's character was such that she would listen when he told her what to do. Hey, a lot of people won't. I have people come to me and say, preacher, I need you to give me some advice. I need to talk to you. And they'll come and sit down in the office and they'll say, don't know what to do. I'm coming to you. I want you to help me. So tell me what to do. I've got now most of the time if somebody comes, I say, okay, but I want to ask you this before we start. Are you going to do what I tell you? Are you going to do what I tell you? Now, most of them, if they're honest, should say, well, it depends on what you say. It depends on if I like what you say or not. If your advice pleases me, hey, I'll do it. Now, I don't know about you, but God's got a hold of me at times, and what he told me to do did not please me. It was not something that I felt like, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. No. But it's what I needed to do. I believe God looked at Hagar and knew that this woman has the character that she's going to listen to what I tell her, and she'll do it. And she did it. She did it. She was willing to go back. Now, the Bible does not tell us what happened when she went back. Doesn't tell her how she was received. You say, well, how was it? I don't know. I can't invent stuff either, all right? But I'm telling you, it took a lot of character. It takes character when you go up, and basically what Hagar had to do was say, you know, I did the wrong thing. You ever had to do that? You ever had to go to somebody, look them in the eye, and say, hey, I did wrong. I did wrong. I don't enjoy that. I really don't enjoy it. The very first time I ever had to do it was when I was a kid, threw a rock at the neighbor's cat. My mom made me go next door and knock on the door and tell that lady, I'm sorry I threw a rock at your cat. That was really not the truth. I'm sorry I did, you know, but I did it. I was sorry by the time I got there because mom told me and I knew I had to do it, and I'm thinking, boy, I wish I hadn't have done that now, you know. I didn't even hit the cat, all right? Cat was safe. I couldn't hit the broadside of the barn. I was a little bitty kid, you know. So I had to go do that. Wasn't pleasant. I didn't like doing it. I've had to go on other times, look somebody in the eye and say, hey, I didn't do the right thing. I didn't do the right thing. Can I say this to you? It takes a lot of character to go up and admit you're wrong, look somebody in the eye, and tell you, hey, I did the wrong thing. And then she had the character then to turn around and submit to the hand of Sarah. You see, God knows your character. God sees your character. He not only sees your conduct, what you do, but he sees your character. He sees what you are. A lot deeper than just what you do, okay? A lot deeper than just what you do. He sees your character. Not only that, I want you to think with me here, he sees your circumstances. Sees your circumstances. The angel of the Lord questioned Hagar. You see that? He sat down to her and he said, "Man, you know, what are you doing? Where'd you come from?" Now, he knew the answers before he asked. He knew them. He knew her circumstances. He knew what had happened to her. He knew what her part had been in the matter. He was familiar with the whole story. He saw it. He knew exactly all the goings on in Abraham's household. He knew that. He knew her circumstances, because he saw those circumstances. You say, "Why are you making an issue of that?" Because I don't know how many times I've had people tell me, "Hey, you just don't understand what's going on." But I'm going to tell you, God does. God sees your circumstances, all right? Bless your heart, he knows all the circumstances around you all the time. He knows if there's tragedy. He knows if there's trouble. He knows if there's trial. He knows about it. He knows if you're experiencing living, if you will, on the great bountiful hand of God, or you're just getting by on the scraps. He knows, okay? He knows your circumstances. He knows if you've been taken advantage of on the job. He knows if somebody's using you. He knows those circumstances. He knows what's happening. He knows about your physical issues. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows those circumstances. Why? Because he sees them, all right? He sees them. They're not hidden from him. Don't think that God doesn't see and know your situation at any moment in time. He does. You're not in this earth on your own and just hoping to survive, okay? He sees those things. He sees all of that. Now, really, everything I've said is introduction to what I'm going to say right now. But relax. There's only one point left, and it's going to be short. Not only does he see your conduct, see your character, and see your circumstances, but here's the best part. He cares. He cares. He cares. Look, Hagar was basically an Egyptian slave. God cared about her. God cared about her. He cared about what she was going through. He cared about the conduct she had given to her and the conduct she had displayed. He cared about her character, and he cared about the circumstances she lived in. But he cared about all of that, okay? He cared about her. As a human being, as a purpose. You said, "How do you know?" Because if he hadn't, he'd have never recorded it and left it for us. But he left it for us. He left it so you and I could sit down here centuries later and read this account and know about a person that was an unknown individual in the world, Hagar, but we know her name. We know her name. God left it for us. Why? Because he cared about her. He cared about her enough to send the angel of the Lord after her. And he sent that angel down there to her, and that angel spoke to her and said, "Listen, there's something you need to do." He cared about her enough to get her to do what was right. And to send somebody down there to tell her so she would do what was right. Do you ever stop and think about how much that God in heaven cares about you? Now, there are times maybe we get the feeling down in the mouth, sorry for ourselves, and think he doesn't care about me. It doesn't matter. What happens to me doesn't matter. He doesn't care. Nobody else cares. Nobody in the world cares. But don't you know he does care? He says, "Well, nobody knows my name." He does. He does. "Well, you just don't understand the circumstances." He does. He does. I just want you to know he cares about you, okay? He cares about what you do. He cares about what you are. He cares about what you're going through. He cares. Now, some of you say, "Well, man, life's pretty easy right now. I'm not going through anything." Good. Some of you tonight are burdened. Burdened. You're going through some tough things. Can I say this? God cares. He cares about it. He knows. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to doubt. And by the way, he cares enough to provide some help. Cares enough to provide some help. It is not just, well, I'll be thinking about you. No. Hey, he come to Hagar. Hagar was where she was. And he said, look, here's what you need to do. He came to bring her some help. This Egyptian woman, just a maid servant, been treated wrong. Nobody special, nobody important in the world. God cared about her. And I want us to remember he cares about you. He'll make a way. I don't care what you're experiencing. He'll make a way for you to get through. He'll make a way for you to get through. He'll help you. He'll make you a way. If you say, we can't get through it, he'll get you over it. He'll get you over it. If he can't get you through it or over it, maybe he just won't take you around it, all right? But I'm telling you, he will. And if nothing else, if he doesn't see fit to get you around it, over it, or through it, he'll just make you happy where you are, all right? He can do one of the four, all right? He can do one of those things. He's not a God that doesn't care about his people. Here's Hagar out of a pagan land, thrust into the home of the man that knew God Almighty. The man who, hey, you talk about an odd situation. Abraham was one of the most odd situations of anybody in that day. Because if you study all the religion and all that time period, it was a multiplicity of gods. Every culture, every one of those civilizations, they had a god for this, a god for that, and a god for everything else, all right? I mean, there was just multiple gods. But here's Abraham saying there's one God. There's one God. That's the God that I serve. And here's that God that cared enough about that Egyptian woman to go after. To go after. Can I say this to you? You and I ought not to make God have to come after us, all right? We ought not to make God have to come looking for us. But if you do, I believe he will. I believe he'll come looking for you. And if he comes looking for you, he's going to tell you what to do. Now there's the test. Are you going to do what he says, okay? Are you going to listen to him? He cares for you, and he's got the answer. He'll get you through the problem. The problem is a lot of God's people won't listen. We will not listen to what he had to say, all right? We just won't pay attention to it. We will say, okay, listen, I believe oftentimes people come to church, they hear the word of God, the word of God is preached to them, it's got the answer for their problem, but they walk out the door, and I'm not doing that. I won't do that. I've had people sit in my office, and I've talked to them. And I said, here's what you're going to do. I said, but I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be easy. Maybe that's the problem. I mean, we want an instant answer to get us out of the mess. We've been digging the hole for years, but we want to get out of it in 15 minutes. Well, it doesn't always work like that, okay? I don't know how many times I've talked to people, and they would say, okay. I was thinking this morning when Brother Dice was up here talking about the English people, the way they'll do things, they'll agree with you and you'll think that they're on your side totally, but when they leave, you find out they weren't agreeing with you at all. They're totally opposite. I've met a lot of those English people sitting back there in that office, okay? Because they'd say, okay, walk out the door and never do one thing I said to do. And still in a mess, and I don't profess to be the wisest person in the world, but I say this, if you and I'll do what God says, we'll have better life. Life just works out better, all right? I just want to remind you tonight, our God sees you. Our God sees you. Hagar discovered that fact, and it changed her life. Changed her life. She had the good sense and the good character to do what God said to do when she was facing a trial in her life. She had the good sense to do what it said. You and I, hey, whether it's in trial or it's in triumph, we need to know God sees us, and we just need to follow him. We just need to follow him. It's not always, you know, sometimes we need to realize God sees us when we're in triumph, too. He sees that. and we'll follow him, we're going to find out that's going to be the best way. Things are going to work out pretty good. Things worked out pretty good for Hagar. Pretty good for Hagar in the long run. She was the mother of a huge nation of people. They're alive today, all right? Because she followed what God said to do. Now here's our question. Boils down to this. Either you believe God sees you or you don't. Now if you believe God sees you, it ought to affect the way we conduct ourselves, all right? The next time that you've been trumped upon and you're about to let forth with something out of your mouth that's not going to please God, you might want to stop and think, just a second, wait a minute, my God sees me. He sees me. Excuse me. Hey, the next time you're in a terrible fix, a trial, and you think, what in the world am I going to do? Remember, God sees you. God sees you. You're not overlooked. You're not forgotten. He sees you. He knows about it. He knows what you're going through. What you need to do is realize he cares. He hadn't deserted you. Now, oftentimes we get in a fix because we sort of took a left turn off the right path, and we get in a mess. Well, just have the good sense and the good character to say, Lord, my fault. I'll get back where I belong. I'll get back where I need to be. Hey, thou God sees you. He sees us. Sees what's happening. And he cares. Never think for a minute that he doesn't. Would you bow for prayer tonight? Thou God seest me. Oh, listen, he sees you. He sees what's happening to you. He doesn't just see the bad. He also sees the good. I'm glad when I'm messing up, God still sees the good in me. What a blessing. Listen, don't think for a moment God doesn't care about you. Maybe you're facing big decisions. What I need to do. Well, God cares. You need to go to him. You need to listen to what he says. You need to listen. Maybe you're in a mess tonight because you took a left turn from the will of God. Hey, you know what you need to do? You need to return and submit to him. You'll find he'll welcome you back. He cares about you. He wants you to have a good life. He wants to bless you. He cares about you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the blessings you've given us. Lord, sometimes you have to treat us rough because of our disobedience. Lord, would you just help us to realize tonight you see us. You know what's going on. You care for us. And Lord, if there's things we need to make right, help us to make them right tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand? We sing tonight page 382, Softly and Tenderly. Jesus.